Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the, what is it? It's Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio, I believe. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so there was a brand new one that popped up there this morning. So swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three of those.
All right, Dan. I got to get you to explain this to me. Now, obviously, we know the White Sox got knocked out of the playoffs yesterday, and they got beat, let's face it, pretty handily by the Astros. I mean, it wasn't a super competitive series or anything. They did manage to get one win, but, you know, nothing of any major source or anything like that. But oddly, when I got to work and I was on social media this morning when I had a little downtime, I found it interesting that Cub fans were all over my Facebook page ripping the White Sox for losing. There were also some that also took some shots at the Brewers, who got eliminated last night as well. And I guess what I'm curious about, Dan, is did these idiots realize that the Cubs weren't anywhere near the playoffs, and they don't look like they're going to be anywhere near the playoffs for quite some time? Or what's the deal there?
What's worse, knowing you're not going to make the playoffs or losing in the playoffs?
Well, to be fair, the White Sox didn't squeak into the playoffs. They were, you know, I mean, they ran away with their division. So.
No, but that's what I mean, you know. No, I mean, the fact that you know you're not going to make it, Cubs, versus the White Sox getting in and losing in it, which sentiment feels worse, I guess I could say. But, you know, it's just typical fandom. You know, if the Cubs were in it, it just reminds me of back in 2009, my dad and I went down to St. Lou to see a Cubs-Cardinals game. I sat with all Cardinals fans because I'm assuming I bought a season ticket holder tickets. You know, the fans weren't bad. We had a great time. But when my dad and I got back to the hotel that night, like, the weather just turned. You know, it was crappy. Fortunately, it didn't rain or anything. It held out for the game, which was awesome, and for us, you know, driving down there. And the news is over. You know, they do the weather. You talk about how crappy the weather is, and then it was raining that night. And then it turned to, well, at least the Cardinals beat the Cubs. You know, the weatherman looked straight at the other, you know, people at the table, news reporters, and they were all happy about it. And, you know, it just kind of, I know they do that more so to play with off the fans of, you know, watching and whatnot, but just reminded me of that moment exactly, because does it really matter? Like you said, you in the end lost, but I think that's just perfect fandom, isn't it?
I don't know if I would call it perfect. I mean, it's more childish and immature. I mean, that's stuff that you used to do as a kid when, you know, your buddy wasn't a fan of the local team and that the team, whatever team he was that was, you know, rooting for actually lost. But, literally incredibly stupid.
Yeah, some guys just get way too excited.
You know, it was just like, we're celebrating the fact that the White Sox lost, and it's just kind of like, but they had a chance to go to the World Series. The Cubs didn't, and probably won't have one for the next few years at least. But yet I'm going to jump up and down because the White Sox lost. That's just dumb.
Yeah. You know, I can't defend or really go into that mindset because, you know, the only time I really do it would be around my friends, family members going back and forth. You know, just like I told my sister-in-law, you know, why the White Sox lost. And she said, no, why? I said, well, you know, you brought us to the last two White Sox games and they won. And then she just, you know, kind of laughed. So, you know, since you didn't bring us to the playoff game, the game that decided their fate, they lost, you know. So I got a joke with that, of course. But I think part of it, too, is, you know, we've talked about it before, social media has given everyone the outlet. And when you've got nothing to do, you know, you're sitting at the kitchen table drinking coffee. Well, maybe not you when you work nights. Getting home, you might not be drinking that coffee. But, you know, a lot of people wake up, drink that coffee, and they're sitting there. Because I know how coffee drinkers are. You don't do anything while you drink that coffee, whether it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes. You literally do nothing. And you're looking at the phone. And, you know, you log on to Facebook, and then you see that the White Sox lost because your favorite Cubs memes Facebook page posted it. So then you've got to make your comment and then, you know, just to rattle up your friends. And then I like to join those conversations and find someone to troll for a couple minutes, you know.
Because I was laughing at it this morning, and I probably should have commented just to see what they would have said, but it was just like, okay, did you realize that the Cubs aren't playing and have really been out of it since even before they traded everybody away? You know, and it just, you know, reading it, I literally just felt dumber reading it because I'm like, what makes you think this? I mean, you're a grown man. That's who we're posting this because I know these people, so I know they were men. Well, I don't know if you call them men because of the way they acted, but they're allegedly grown men. And it's just kind of like, you know, I mean, if it was funny, okay, it would be one thing, but you weren't trying to be funny. You were literally just acting like you were eight and, you know, you were making fun of your buddy because he's a Cowboy fan and they lost even though you live in Chicago.
Yeah. There's a lot of hate for the Cowboys. I don't know. I don't really get all into that. Even when, you know, prior to podcasts, I never really bought into that or got that upset. You know, of course, me and my friend, cousin, family member, whoever, you know, we'll go back and forth, make jokes. But, you know, stuff to keep you laughing. To me, if you're not laughing, you're getting way too serious over nothing.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I'm all for, you know, ripping your buddies or, you know, razzing your buddies. I mean, that's, you know, that's one of the things you're supposed to do. But in a situation like this, if you're just shedding up, you know, I mean, that would be like Oriole fans taking shots at Yankee fans because they lost the wild card game.
That would be very funny.
So, yeah, it just, I don't know, maybe it was just me or maybe I was just too tired this morning when I was reading it. But, yeah, it just seemed really stupid to me.
So, yeah, but
I don't
I
know.
Mean,
I figured,
you know,
you could explain it to me.
No, because think about it. We would see the same thing if it were flip-flopped. So.
Would we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're just saying that to defend the other club teams now?
Exactly. No, you know
well, that's
the truth.
That's the you're supposed to do it. Well, you guys would have done it if it was us. That's, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it's, that's where I'm going to drop the ball on.
Yeah. That sounds like something my mother would ask me. Yeah, you know, it sounds like something my mother would ask me if my friend did something wrong. You know, I'd be like, well, if he jumped off a cliff, would you have went with him? So, you know.
Yeah, I had a teacher tell me that once. I asked him, how high is the bridge?
So, you know,
just kind of
ridiculous, but oh well, we will move on. I don't care. The White Sox are out. there's no baseball today, and every series is over except one. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised that it's the Giants and the Dodgers that are going to Game Five as. L.A. managed to get a big win last night and actually finally put runs up on the board. What, winning 7-2?
Yeah, it was a great game last night.
So, and it was, what I found really goofy this morning as I was listening, I don't even remember which one of the sports radio stations it was, and they were talking about how, well, you know, the Dodgers haven't announced their starting pitcher for tomorrow yesterday. And what confused me, Dan, is was there any doubt that the Dodgers were going to use Julio Urias and the Giants were going to use Logan Webb? I mean, was there ever a doubt in anybody else who were going to be the guys who make the start?
Well, there definitely wasn't any doubt in the announcer's mind last night as they panned the camera to them several times and pointed out the two guys kind of hiding in the dugouts. Here's who we're going to see tomorrow.
So yeah, it seemed, I was listening to this guy this morning and maybe it was just the kind of morning I'm having, but I was just kind of, or I had, I should say, I was just kind of like, really? You think that with the year Webb had for the Giants and the fact that Urias won, I believe, 20 games and, you know, will probably get quite a few Cy Young Award votes with his multiple teammates as well, that they're going to go away from him to bring Max Scherzer back on, like, 2 days rest or something to pitch Game 5? It's like that sounds like a genius move. If they did that, they should fire Dave Roberts before the game even starts, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just so weird. I was like, okay, how come I know who's pitching, and you don't? So,
you know, it's because they didn't put it out immediately.
Yeah. So the Giants are actually favorite to win this game. I give you two options here. Do you think it's because they're the home team, or do you have another reason that they're actually favorite tomorrow?
I mean, that was the first thing I was going to say was home team.
So, yeah, because I was surprised because I know everybody's been on, you know, the Dodger bandwagon, and even though they were a wild card team, I know a ton of people who were picking them to, you know, to win the World Series. And obviously it's not a bad pick. I know we made, I believe I picked the Dodgers at the start of the year. I had Dodgers, Yankees, and I don't remember if it was you or Stu who also had Dodgers, Yankees. So you probably had the Nationals, because don't you always pick the Nationals to win the World Series?
No, that was Stu for like 5 years.
Oh, okay. I knew there was somebody who kept picking the Nationals, and I think the year they won it that they didn't pick them. So that was kind of funny. So, but yeah, that game is tomorrow, and it's a 8 o'clock start, so I won't get to see much of any of it. But hopefully, it'll be another good game. They've had some pretty good games in this series. I think last night was the only one that was a bit of a can't really call it blowout. I think it did end 7-2, but it wasn't a blowout like the White Sox game was.
I mean, at what point do you just start feeling bad?
4.
For the White Sox. You're watching that game yesterday. Man, it's just like, this just ended.
I felt bad because they were already down.
Yeah.
So, no.
Told you, it's because I wasn't there rooting for the Astros.
Yesterday the other team that got eliminated were the Brewers, and Freddie Freeman ended it with a home run off Josh Hader. He hits a home run in the bottom of the 8th, and that gave the Braves the 5-4 lead. Now, what I did find funny about this, relating back to Cub fans, I had a Cub fan tell me that he didn't understand how Freeman hit the home run off Hader because Hader used to give Rizzo fit. And I'm like, how does that relate to anything that just happened in this game? So, it's who cares? The Braves won and they're moving on. But, I don't know. It was kind of an odd series. And, I mean, if I was a Brewer fan, I would be questioning some of the moves Craig Counsell made with that pitching staff. I get it that, this is how they handle it, and Tampa Bay can say the same thing, but it cost you guys.
I mean, let's be honest, Big Jack, that was probably the least of the series I cared to watch. Not that I don't care, but of all of them, that was the lowest priority. And part of that being, I just didn't think, I kind of thought what would happen to the White Sox was what would have happened to the Braves, to be honest with you. So, and obviously with, my schedule too, having to, that middle part of the baseball games, I don't get to see a whole lot of, they kind of fell into that avenue. With the overlaps the couple days. So, they kind of were, like I said, lowest priority, but they should have won. I mean, and that's, did we make picks? I don't think we made picks, but if you would have asked me in the beginning, you would have said Braves Brewers, and I would have just said Brewers and moved on. Yeah, I wouldn't even have hesitated. I wouldn't have thought about it. I would have just shot that out. And, for me, if I was making the graphic, I would have already had it made with the Brewers in there for the second, the CS against, still waiting Giants or Dodgers. I don't know. So it's, like you said, if you're Brewers, you got to question that. And are those the decisions that he's making part of the reason Ricky Renteria can't keep a job?
Well, here's an interesting question for you. The White Sox didn't do any better with Tony La Russa as their manager as they did with Renteria. So did it make that big of a difference?
Huh. I guess not.
So, he didn't take them any farther. This is exactly where they lost last year.
Well, the Brewers, the White Sox didn't make the playoffs.
Last year, they got beat by the A's.
Oh, the White Sox made it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm losing my mind. I don't remember. I must have blocked that out.
So, it was just kind of like, okay, What's the difference? And I know there's people, and I guess this is interesting. Do you feel that since, the White Sox, the Rays, and the Brewers all basically had their divisions wrapped up and they knew they were playoff teams, do you think it hurt them that they were able to just kind of coast into the playoffs and didn't have to fight for it? And, I mean, the Astros did too, basically, even though for some reason people seem to think that was a race, but it really wasn't. So it didn't seem to affect Houston, but do you think it affected the White Sox, the Rays, or the Brewers, or were they just not that good?
Well, and that's what's baffling to me. I've seen, granted it was against the Dodgers or the Tigers and the Cubs, but I've seen the White Sox play at a high level, and you got a question, are they really that good? And, I mean, they kind of, going into the series, a lot of people were writing them off, and you and I just kind of questioned that, and it turned out to be true. So, maybe we had too much of the hometown feels for it or whatever, but I think we both saw a good team that had potential to advance in the playoffs. So, but, I mean, let's be honest, though, you did point out once they were matched up against the Astros that you did not think they were going to win at all. I thought they did. I mean, you're still looking at a team that won 93 games. And they were talking about them at a point where they were under that. And, is it because they won 93 games where Tampa, Dodgers, and Giants won over 100, so they were kind of the teams to be looked at. So I don't know. And with Tampa, it's the same thing. I mean, 100-win team, how can you not be that good if you, between the two teams, you won that many games? And it's not, the East isn't a bad division. You've got your two teams at the bottom. The Central was definitely a little bit more competitive, and same with the West, except for Texas. So it's hard to say, what really went wrong. And I think, as I ramble on about nothing, I think it just goes back to what you said, managerial decisions with pitching. Screwed it up.
Yeah, it was just very, very odd with the way they, they handled certain things. And, I know, Brandon Woodruff came in relief last night for the Brewers. And he gave them a couple innings. But, their starters, Corbin Burns did go six innings. So, he gave them some length. But like I said, Freddy Peralta was rolling. He had four shutout innings going. He gave up three hits. You're going to point out they got one hit in, three of the four innings he pitched. Yeah, great. But he didn't give up any runs. So, it's just kind of like, okay. And I don't get it. You've got to allow your manager to manage and not go, okay, well, this is what analytics say to do. We got to go do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't, it's, it just gets ridiculous to me when it's like, okay, here, we're gonna do this, and now it says we have to do this, so let's do this, and now we lost and we're done. Okay, great. Wonderful. So, yeah, any team that gets knocked out, there's always questions. People were questioning if the Yankees should get rid of Aaron Boone, even though he managed to get them to come back with all their injuries and still get into the playoffs, even though they lost the wild card game. But, I think seriously, if you're, Milwaukee or Tampa Bay, you really have to kind of look at the way you analyze the game and figure out a better combination of analytics and allowing your manager to manage. Because basically it cost you in the playoffs. Just being a strictly analytic team cost you. You know, you didn't play your hunches. And, I mean, we'll be able to say the same thing about the Dodgers tomorrow if they lose. Because they're basically strictly an analytic team. They don't allow their manager to do any managing whatsoever, to the point where his lineups are generated and given to him. He's not even allowed to set a lineup. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Brewers and the Rays are done the same thing. It's just we don't have the news on it. So, but yeah, I think they both need a better, both those teams need a better mix, you know, on how to run this. Otherwise, this is going to be the thing all the time. You know, I mean, I know it worked for Tampa Bay last year. They got to the World Series, but, you know, again, I'm going to ask you why the hell they took Blake Snell out when he was pitching a shutout and hadn't thrown that many pitches. Well, why did they take him out? Because analytics says you can't go through the order three times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, but what do you think? I mean, see these teams making any actual changes? Are they going to blame one of the coaches? Or do you think they'll just continue to run analytics up and down the hill because it's worked for them?
I think they're going to continue. You know, I mean, La Russa, I don't remember if it was post-game or morning show interview, whatever it was. I think it was post-game because he mentioned, you know, someone asked if he's coming back next year, and he said, well, you know, it's up to the team, you know, the owners and the players, basically. And, you know, and it's just old guys who've been in the business long enough to know to say all the right things. So take it for what you want. But, you know, Tony flat out said, I'll be back unless the management doesn't want me back and the players don't want me back. And they, you know, elaborate. So he said, elaborated, you know, first you want the owners, they want to, you know, you want to come back. You got to get their approval, and then you go to the locker room. But he said, he also mentioned that philosophy has been developed over years. Back when he needed the money, essentially, he didn't say those exact words, but when he needed the jobs, the money, you know, take care of his family, that was not his philosophy. So I'm sure he might be hinting a little bit at the departure with the White Sox in the 80s. So I think just with everything we know, the way the White Sox are, I don't see Tony La Russa going anywhere. I see him back with the team again next year, and hopefully they can get their figured out. I mean, when you mention the other two teams, I just don't see the Rays getting going away from Kevin Cash. And then Council's been there. He's got some time in, and, you know, the Brewers seem to be kind of loyal. So, but I think if you asked me of all three teams, I think the Brewers would be the ones that would make the move.
Yeah, I do. I am kind of wondering, you know, like you said, Council's been there a long time. I wonder if maybe he just decides to walk away. You know, and they kind of allow him to make his exit as retirement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still, if he retired, that's a pretty young retirement, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not like he wouldn't be back. It's just one of those things where, you know, this is his out. You know, we get the, he wants to spend more time with his family type of deal, you know, so they don't have to go through the process of making a, you know, a big stink out of, or using the term fired in, you know, any way.
Yeah. Well, because even when you say, oh, they agreed to part ways mutually, oh, so he got fired?
Yeah. So, you know, because, you know, he's been there since, what, 2015 is when he, you know, he took over. And obviously, you know, he's had a really good run. This was their fourth consecutive playoff appearance in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he's won the division twice, and he's, you know, the wild card game twice.
You know, when you look at this team, though, what is that missing factor, do you feel like?
You know, I mean, the odd part is you look at it, and it's the Brewers. You know, they're not going to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're never really going to have that big star. I think the biggest question you could ask for them, you know, the last couple of years now is, was Christian Yelich a fluke? You know, because, like, I'm willing to write last year off. I don't have a problem with going, well, you know, 2020 and it was a weird year. But this year, and I know, you know, he was injured again. Did play in 117 games, but we're talking about a guy who hit 248 with just 9 home runs. So what happened between, you know, 2019, where he finished second in the MVP after winning in 2018, to 2020 and 2021? I mean, was he one of those guys that was just that reliant on watching video in between at bats that he can't make adjustments now?
Do you think that plays a huge factor in their game?
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of those other guys have bounced back. You know, J.D. Martinez bounced back. Even Javier Baez got things straightened out here once he got away from the Cubs and was actually coached. Why isn't Christian Yelich talented enough to do the same thing?
He's distracted by something. I don't know. I mean, I just felt like that tandem, the three-man back of the Marlins outfield, when they were all together, it was a different story. And I don't think they lived up to the potential. Well, Yelich, yeah, but like you said, he's kind of dipping down.
You know, because, I mean, you look at it, he hit 36 homers the year he won the MVP. He hit 44 the year he finished second. Last year he hit 12 in 58 games. Somehow this year he only manages 9 home runs in 117 games? Okay. What happened? Yeah.
Close the gate. Count the fans in after hours.
You know, and I mean, he signed through, you know, 2028. You know, they went long term with him so they could lock him up for the lower money than he would have gotten, you know, had he played it out and went into free agency after a couple of those, you know, big years. But, you know, you've got to wonder, you know, here he makes $26 million, and he makes that for every year for the remainder of his contract. You've got to start to question if he's a bust for them, don't you?
Yeah. nine home runs.
Yeah. And 248.
That,
you know, so, yeah, it, you know, it just becomes very, you know, questionable. You know, he's supposed to be their guy. You know, when you look at it, you know, they went and got Willy Adames and he had a fantastic year. So now you have to decide, was that his breakout and this is how he's going to play? Or was it just a one-off fluke? Because he never played this well with Tampa.
No, so you definitely question that. You know, the old change of scenery. You know, we're seeing it in Boston with Kyle Schwarber. So maybe
or
a thing. Or what?
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, they have some other questions. Remember, Keston Hiro was supposed to be the big guy in the middle of the lineup that replaced Ryan Braun. He went up and down. He was so bad. He went up and down between the Brewers and Triple A. He ended up hitting .168 for them this year when he was at the level. You know, I get it. He's only 24. He can stick it out. Will, you know, Jackie Bradley hit .163. He looked like he was going to be an interesting steal for them. A late free agent signing. I think what the Brewers are missing is a foundation piece to build their lineup around. And, you know, the question is, can they get it or can they find it? You know, because that was Ryan Braun for so many years. And now, obviously, you know, he's not coming back.
No. So he's finally off their books.
Yeah. Last year was it. He was a free agent last year. So.
Did I lose you there?
No, I heard you. He's off their books. They're gone. He's gone. You're okay.
Okay. you know, that frees up another $20 million, doesn't it? So, I mean, when you're looking at this team, the way you presented it, it almost sounds like with that money coming off, do you feel they're pretty much stuck with Yelich? Or do you start entertaining the idea of possibly trying to move him and finding that guy?
Yeah, I don't see them moving him. That doesn't, you know, I don't know if they would want to admit that they made that type of a mistake when they signed him long term. So I think he's there. That and the fact that you got to realize, I mean, with the way he's played the last couple of years, how much of that contract are they going to have to pay for somebody to take him?
Yeah.
You know, it's very much the Jason Bourne with Tubb. You know, who's taking that contract?
Yeah, and you can't swap those two because big time difference.
No.
So, I mean, you know, looking at that from that perspective, you're still kind of stuck, whether you like it or not, trying to build around Christian Yelich. And, you know, how long does Lorenzo Cain have before he's up?
He's got one more year. He signed next year for $18 million.
Huh. So he's possibly movable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to be negative or anything. I don't feel like, you know, it's one of those things. His glory days were with the Royals, I feel like. Like the Splash continued to kind of move after the Royals days. So, you know, it'd be nice to get them off the books. But like I said, if you still have to build around Yelich, I didn't really think, you know, with the way his career is going towards the end now, Cain was going to be a good complement field. I think, like you said, they need another, I don't want to say star power, but definitely bat power. And, you know, is Yelich the team leader? Is he the guy that's going to take that spot like Ryan Braun kind of was? So, you know, if you're able to get free up another, with those two gone, it's roughly $30 million or more, maybe 40, closer to 40. You've got some room to spend some money. And, you know, after that, where do you go with that? You know, are you able to try to make a couple more moves and maybe make a trade or two and for pitching while you could try to sign another bat? You know, so I think those are kind of the things that they might be looking at. I don't know. You know, and you've got to imagine, like you brought up, though, is Council the first thing? Are you looking at him first and then that outfield?
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at it, you know, Jackie Bradley has a player option for $9.5 million next year. You got to figure he's going to take that because nobody's given anything on the free agent market. They've got an option on Ave Garcia, who had a really good year, and it's $12 million, so that's a very pickable up option, I guess you would call it. Other than that, the only big-time free agent they have is Eduardo Escobar, who they got in a trade. So, they may just let him walk and try to fill the gap there.
Mm-hmm.
Their other free agents are Brett Anderson, Brad Boxberger, Hunter Strickland, and, yeah, that's really it.
Hmm. I mean, what you're looking at, possibly like up to $75 million that you have to play with next year, if everyone doesn't come back.
The big thing would be, I think, can you go out? And I mean, really, the position you're looking at is probably first base to add that big guy. Mm-hmm. Cause right now you went with Rowdy Tellez and Daniel Vogelbach, and I know Escobar played over there a little bit, or maybe third base, unless you're convinced that Urias and Adames are going to be enough at those positions to help you out. Cause I don't see you, I don't see you getting rid of Colton Wong at second. I think the questions become, do they decide that Hiru is going to develop after this time, or do they go out and try to get somebody
like Anthony Rizzo?
there would be nothing wrong with that. I mean, he would be a very good fit there. Any of the Rizzo or Bryant would fit in very nicely. So
I wasn't even thinking that. To be honest. I think, like you said, though, you definitely have to look at the coach and how you want to kind of go forward with that. I think they would be the most likely to move on, but would they make that drastic change? I just feel like the Brewers might not do that, and he'll probably be back. And like you said, I'm sure some hitting coaches, pitching coaches, et cetera, will be replaced or moved around and whatnot. And that'll be the problem solver. But I think they need to rely less on the computer printouts and maybe a little bit more by the eye test. And you trust Council will be there, or whoever the next guy is, he should have some more of that input. They are fully analytic, and he gets his lineups and situations handed to him, but you never know.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting off season for them, as well as Tampa Bay. But Tampa Bay, we know Tampa Bay is not going to spend any money. It's just the way they are. So.
Yeah, and thank you for saying the word money, even though we said millions of times already. The wedding I was at on Sunday, my father-in-law's brother, sitting with him, and we were talking baseball. And, he grew up out here, just outside Chicago, was a White Sox fan, moved to Tampa Bay area, many moons ago. So he was there before the baseball team was there, and the hockey team, I think. But, he still roots for the Rays, but, he said if it was the Rays-White Sox, he'd be White Sox all the way, whatever. But he's so mad and kind of just hates how, Steinbrenner and the Yankees started the buying the championship stuff. And, he's just happy if the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers, too, who spend a ton of money, don't make it because, they spend all the money, where Tampa doesn't. And, look where they're at. And I brought up, he's right. Season Tampa was at like 60, 70 million. Boston and New York were definitely in the 200s. So I get that point. The Dodgers too. One of the things kind of cracked me up, and I didn't really get into it with them because it's just one of those conversations you just don't feel like having with someone who is very opinionated like that, because it's not going to go anywhere. I wanted to kind of get your take on it. Plus, it works out well. I've got to take my couple minutes in a couple minutes. But, you know, when you look at those three teams in particular, the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, and all the amount of money they spend, it's still out there. We all know it. You can't hide it. And there are repercussions, so to speak, with how they spend their money now. So it's not like the NHL and if NBA where you've got these strong caps and whatnot, where you have to move guys around so crazily. But I would say in the last, especially the 5 years, or maybe like just going back since we started the podcast, really, the money is spent, but I feel like at the same time, the Dodgers end up spending money because they acquire and based on their farm system, and they've had developed, you know, the whole, I was trying to tell them, you know, the pitching staff is all Dodgers. Those guys weren't bought. Granted, Kershaw's paid a hell of a lot of money to pitch there, but he wasn't bought. He was their guy. And, you know, it just kind of threw me off. Do you still buy into that old mentality? Because I just don't think it really works anymore that you could just hate on the Yankees and these guys because they spend so much money when, yeah, the Yankees took on a lot that wasn't theirs. But when you look at the Dodgers and even the Red Sox a little bit, they're able to develop guys, and a lot of the guys on the team came through their system. I mean, do you still find that as a viable argument for not liking the big money spenders?
You know, there's always going to be people that just don't like the teams that spend big money because they root for a team that doesn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when, you know, when you kind of look at the landscape, I mean, it's Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, and then you could throw the Padres in there because they've spent money lately. Other than that, there's no other team that really does that. You know, the Phillies talked about it and only signed Bryce Harper. You know, the Angels do spend money, but unfortunately for the Angels, they always seem to spend it badly. So, you know, but other than that, I mean, there's, you know, the Blue Jays said they were going to spend money 1 year, and I think the only thing they did was sign George Springer. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But, yeah, I mean, I think what may upset people more than anything isn't the fact that these teams spend money, but the fact that they're actively trying to win while, unfortunately, you may root for a team that's not. You know, I mean, like, you know, since we're in Chicago, we'll use the Cubs as the example. If you're a Cub fan, you should be crushed what they did to this team. You know, here's a team that is a big money team that acts like they're not. And, you know, instead of being understanding about how this was going to process out for them, and again, this is all on Theo Epstein. He didn't handle it correctly, and you had to see your star players get moved along because all their contracts were coming up at the same time, and it was going to be impossible to sign all of them. Now, did you think the team was going to be this bad? Well, no, probably not. And you got to remember, they were a fourth-place team before they traded all these guys. But, you know, you're looking at, you know, Anthony Rizzo, who's a quality player, Kyle Schwarber, who they weren't interested in bringing back because he couldn't hit left-handed pitching. You know, Javier Baez and Chris Bryant because they knew they weren't going to be able to re-sign him. Where a team like the Dodgers or the Red Sox or the Yankees would have went out and re-signed them either before they got to this point where they were in that last year, or they would have made a move a la like the Astros did, where, you know, they either locked up Altuve and Bregman long-term, or they've made the moves bringing in a guy like Michael Brantley or a Zach Greinke or a Justin Verlander who didn't pitch. Imagine how much better they would be if Justin Verlander had stayed healthy. So I think it's more the fact that you're just upset that your team's, you know, not really trying to win or is dedicated to trying to win as these other teams are. So, you know, that would be the way you would look at it, more than being upset and hating on this team because this team spent money. Right? So, you know, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see how it goes this off season. But, you know, you know there are certain teams right off the bat. I mean, like, you know, like we were talking about Milwaukee and Tampa Bay. We're not going to see Milwaukee and Tampa Bay go out and sign big money players to big money contracts. You know, I know there were some reports that Tampa Bay was thinking about trading for Chris Bryant, but they're not going to go out and give him the $300 million-plus deal that he's looking for. You know, I mean, that's just not going to happen. I mean, if it did, I would be completely surprised, or probably more than that. What's more than completely surprised? I don't know what the next spacing is there, but, you know, and I mean, there's other teams you can throw in. I mean, the Pirates aren't going to do that. The Royals aren't going to do that. The A's aren't going to do that. You know, I would guess the Mariners won't. You could probably add the Diamonds and the Rockies, the Diamondbacks and the Rockies into that. So, you know, you can start knocking teams off the list immediately that just aren't going to be in the market for whoever the big free agents end up being. You know, it's just not going to happen. There's no workouts. So I think it's just more of an issue that you're more upset at your team for not spending the money than you are at a team like the Dodgers or like the Yankees or like the Red Sox, or again, like I said, the Padres. You know, you're more upset at that market because they're going out and actively trying to win, and your team is floundering, being cheap, and trying to do it on the sly. And, you know, occasionally one of the teams will pop up and win, but it's nothing they can continually do. So I think that's the bigger reason you hate this team or hate that team, because, you're not going to hate your team. It's just that simple.
No.
So.
It is interesting to hear those comments, though. But, you know, when you think about it a little bit more, you know, like I said, the Dodgers, they have the higher payrolls, those three teams that we talked about. But I think, you know, as far as money is, they make more money, so they spend more. And I think that's why, you know, in other places, not just with players. And I think that's why they're still able to, you know, kind of lose out on picks, so to speak, where they could have gotten better draft picks by making trades and whatnot and signings, you know, all that fun stuff goes. But their scouts are just so have that eye. They hire the best ones, I'm assuming, because they always seem to have a farm system that has players in it that not only produce on their team, but are also viable pieces to attract other, you know, to bring in a Mookie Betts, so to speak.
Or a Max Scherzer.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, because some of the, even the smaller market, and I think the White Sox have I like the guys they come up with. Granted, you know, it hasn't really taken off where you think you would like it to. But I think, you know, like you mentioned the Royals, I think they get their one guy who really takes off, and then that's kind of it for a while. You know, where you're not continuously developing talent.
Well, you know, they try. You know, it just sometimes doesn't work out. You know, I mean, we've seen it how many times where it's kind of like, oh, yeah, this guy is, you know, like I was talking about Keston Hiru. You know, he was the guy who was going to, you know, he was going to be Milwaukee's next Ryan Braun. And now you've got to wonder, is he a washout after the last couple of years he's had? And again, I mean, you can throw 2020 out the window. I don't have a problem with that. But what's your excuse for this year? I mean, he was terrible. Yeah. Trust me, I had him on two fantasy teams.
Well, and do you think by putting those labels on these guys so quickly that that hinders it sometimes, or maybe not hinders, but just the expectations are set so high that, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago where you might have heard of a kid coming up but don't know a whole lot about him because the information wasn't all accessible then. Do you think that makes a bigger difference in it?
You know, I think it does in the fans' eyes because you know, these guys are pushed and shoved at you, and every one of them is the next big thing.
Yeah.
You know, they will come out and say, yeah, you know, well, he'll be a middle of the rotation starter for his entire career. No, they come at you and say he's going to be a number one. You know, I mean, how many times did we hear that about Dwayne Underwood? He was the Cubs' future number one.
Yeah.
So was, you know, Adbert Azalea. You know, he was going to be the guy to lead this rotation. And Dwayne Underwood ended up being, you know, released, and he's now a Pirate, and Azalea didn't show anything this year in his first full season to make you think he's going to be a number one. But they were pushed on us as those guys. So, you know, I think that's what gets to the fans. Is you're sold this, you know, and it's understandable. You're sold this because, you know, they want you to buy tickets.
Yeah.
You know, but my question when you brought up I wanted to ask you when you brought that up, I didn't get a chance to chime in. Do the Dodgers draw because they win, or do their fans just show up like it's Wrigley Field?
I think mostly because they win, but I've never been to L.A., so we'll see, you know, in the next 5 years with the world, how it's working, if I can go there. It was definitely in the plans a couple years ago to actually go in 2021, but obviously, you know, that played out. So not that I wasn't, you know, I don't know, just things. But so maybe in the next 5 years we'll see. But I don't know, Stan, it's not a hard place to get to, but not very convenient. But I do know there's the Dodger fans are pretty diehard. So I think they just show up regardless.
You know, I mean, that seems, you know, the big question seems to be, I mean, when you win, don't you draw? With the exception of Tampa Bay, and they're going to play half their games in Montreal next year.
Oh, that's for real?
Yeah, I believe so. So.
Oh, wow. Interesting. But, you know, like you said, they continuously draw. They've been drawing for almost the last 10 years. And why is they've only won one World Series in the last 10, but they're consistently in the playoffs and they consistently compete. They don't put together a team where the top stars all come up at the same time and then all come up with contracts at the same exact time.
Yeah. I mean, consistent winning breeds loyalty in your fans, and they'll show up for you, even if you have, you know, one rough year, because they know you're going to bounce back.
Yeah, like the Giants, and it.
Right.
You know, my questioning of White Sox fans and not showing up, you know, because I did notice that I have a guy I know through other friends. He's a White Sox fan. We've been friends for a couple of years, like 3 or 4 years now. And, you know, I'd see the annual White Sox post and maybe an extra one. But this season, man, as we got later into the summer, he was going, I think in the last 2 months, he went about six, seven games. And, you know, this was a guy that was only posting one a year, if that. So I find it interesting at this perspective, you know, like you said, Wrigley Field, if everyone just shows up regardless. We got the White Sox fans, and that was always the big knock. Well, you know, you guys don't ever show up, but why would you continue to show up to support a team that's not winning and, you know, doing those things? But then again, that'll all kind of show itself next April.
So. All right. Well, Dan finished his point right on time because we're out of show. So we are going to go away. I will be here Friday at 5 o'clock with Schomburg Stew. We'll talk to you later.